Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your church. We thank you for this service. We thank you that, Lord God, you're in our midst. We thank you that you are our rock. And Lord, I pray that as we really commence this year, Lord God, I ask that you would overshadow the things that we speak about. Lord God, that you would be central in everything we do. And that, Father, at the end of the year, we'll look back and we'll see the fruit because we've made you central. So, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. You know, it is really the first weekend of the year, isn't it? When you think about it, school starts, everybody's brain comes back into gear. All of a sudden, your diaries come out. You start to fill them up. You start to look at all the things that you've got to do, and you start to even count down until your next holiday. How many have done that already? Yeah. You know where you're going. You've already got it worked out. Easter's coming. You know, Matt, how long until Easter egg hunt? A few weeks. That's right. You haven't even got it up yet. You haven't even told us about it yet. We can't even book our kids in yet. No, you're going to do it? Easter egg hunt not long away, and that'll be second term, and then we go to Uganda, and then it's the third term, and then it's fourth term, and it's Christmas, and so we need some volunteers for the Christmas lights. You understand what I'm saying? It's just started, and already we're counting down. Does anyone know what happens on the 9th of November this year? Now, if you do know and you're part of the team, don't scream it out. Let's see how many bright sparks are here. Pastor Oxy, do you know what happens on the 9th of November? Not the 22nd of November. That's when he turns 102. The 9th of November, 1958, was the first church service of Life Ministry Centre. And so we are celebrating our 60th year. Now, I know one person that was here 60 years ago at the first meeting, and I wonder how many were close to it. Chris and I have been in the church for 43 years, so that's not that bad. Who? Pilliphans, Morrisons, Deidre Harrison. Man, what an incredible thing. And so as we thought about that and as we prayed about that and just not only thought about what we would do to celebrate our 60th year, we started to talk about the church being here for 60 years. Now, of course, it's changed a bit. Of course, it's had a few cracks. We've had to do some reblocking, had to underpin a few foundations, do a bit of painting. But basically, we are the same church that started 60 years ago. The vision's the same. Christ, as you can see, Jesus is still central in everything we do. We're still Bible-based. The vision that Pastor Oxy laid, and even the vision that he drew on a bit of canvas for us right back when we bought this property in 78, 79, is still the same. Why? We thought when we were talking about it, obedience would be a good thing. We think of the discipline that we've been brought up under and trained in. We think of the steadfastness of the teaching. We think of the security that we have in just having such a stable leadership team and how that has been. We think of the boundaries that we've been given. And, you know, I don't know about you, but being tightly tucked up in bed is a nice thing. Having boundaries is a good thing. And we've lived in this church with boundaries, with clean guidelines of what we can and can't do. Some people say it's a spirit of control, but those people that say that are the ones that are operating in the spirit of control. Boundaries give you security. One of the other things that we really cherished and saw was that we haven't allowed mission drift to permeate this place. So many Christian organisations, ones that have been around a while, have allowed Mission Drift to get in. Mission Drift because they wanted to attract government funding and so they bow their knee to the government. Or Mission Drift because they want to be big, or whatever the case might be. But in our case, we don't see Mission Drift. We thought of consistency, of realism, that, you know, we're not a showy place. We're real. But on the same token, we're relevant, I think. We're prepared to move with the times without compromising. That's why you can't go to the ladies' thing, Chris. And also, we've been brought up under strong leadership. And that's the thing that I love about Pastor Hal. Just the strength of the leadership and the leadership teams that he's founded. So for me this year, I'll be talking on building strong foundations, looking at the whole aspect of foundations. Now, again, and you've heard me say it many times over many years in regard to sermons, my sermons are not to be condemnatory, but if they bring conviction, that's a good thing. Condemnation comes from the enemy and it locks you in. Conviction comes from God and it lets you free. And I know that some of the things I'll even say today might cause some people discomfort. I don't want you to look at your life and feel like you've failed, because when no one is a failure in God. God doesn't and hasn't created mistakes. He's created us for good works. He's created us to live life to the full. And so some of us, as we talk, might realise, well, hey, I didn't lay such a good foundation. But that doesn't mean that you failed. That just means you need to do some underpinning. You need to do some reblocking. I was speaking to John Dennehy this morning, and they've just had their house reblocked. Their house is 100 years old. Doesn't mean it was falling down. It just means that it was settling a little bit and they needed to repair a few corners. Sometimes we have cracks that show us that foundations are moving and we need to fix those cracks. So let's think about that as we move on today. Let's use this scripture, Matthew 7:24-27 this morning. It says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Jesus concludes his great Sermon on the Mount with a sad truth, or a sad truth about one man, a happy truth about one man. I want to use Jesus' comments today about these two men to ask you just one question, a question I'd like you to think about for the rest of the year, a question I'd like you to allow yourselves to muse on as you make your choices this year. What kind of foundation are you building on? In this passage, we can see that these two men have similarities, and they also have some differences, both of which, as with all of Jesus' words, we can use to guide us, and we can also come to a conclusion about. So let's start looking at the similarities. The first similarity is that both men shared the same vision for their future. They both wanted to build a house. They both had the same dreams and the same desires. And if we wanted to make it personal, rather than looking at a physical building, we could look at it like this. They both wanted to build their lives. To build lives worth living, to build lives that were significant, to build lives that were going somewhere, that was going to produce fruit. We could also take it even a little bit further than that and relate the building of our lives, the building of a house, to our family. Both men wanted to have a vibrant, dynamic, strong household. And of course, we can take it one more step and say that it could apply to our spiritual lives and the spiritual lives we're building. Many in this room are building those three things: physical houses, families, and your spiritual lives. Maybe you're not doing the three. Maybe you're not married yet. Maybe you haven't got families that you're building. So maybe you're just building your house. Maybe you're just building your spiritual lives. You know, I was sitting here just a minute ago and I looked across and I saw Isla in Pete's hands. I saw Jacob just before, and then I looked over and I saw Hazel, and I thought, that's what this place is like. It's a building. Physical, households and families, spiritual. But then I thought a little deeper. You know, Hazel's sitting here with her mum and dad, but grandparents in the back. Pete and Em sitting here as mum and dad, with their mum and dad, but with their grandma. So there's four generations. Then we look at Jacob, and he's sitting there with his mum and dad and his grandparents. And then I think of Rick and Ann and look back and think of Rick's dad as a part of this place, and how often I've looked at the platform and seen Rick there with his children, as Rick was with his dad on this platform many years ago. I don't know whether you understand just the incredible rich heritage of this place. We have what we have because it was built on strong families. And yet, we can't rest in our laurels. Sorry, strong foundations. We can't rest in that. We've got to continue to build strong foundations. We've got to continue to make sure the foundations are strong. We've got to continue to make sure that Jesus stays central in all we do. That we are a Bible-speaking church. That we don't allow mission drift to continue or take place. That we stand true in a world which is compromising. We're building strong, stable, vibrant families, people that are alive and committed. We're building a spiritual walk that will stand the test of time. So every one of us actually fits into this story this morning. The second similarity is that both men listened to the same divine truth. They both went to the same Bible school. They both sat under the same teacher. We know that because in our text it says, they both heard these words of mine. And so, in this church, you sit there and you hear the word. All of you hear the same word. The Holy Spirit quickens different aspects to it, but you're all hearing the same word, no different to these. Both men, us, hear the living word. Both men made themselves available to receive divine input. You know, we're not talking about one man hearing the word and accepting it and the other man being a rejecter. We're talking about both men receiving, accepting the same instructions from the same instructor regarding the same vision. The third similarity is that both men face the same storm. The description of the storm is precisely the same in both cases, for both men. And if you think about it, everybody in this room is affected by storms of some kind. Every one of us have negativities that affect our families, our life, our ministry, our work, or our situations and circumstances. Of course, in a physical shape, our storms, the issues of our life, might not be the identical one as others. But the truth about the storm is we all get wet. So the outworking of it is the same in one sense. Life is not always sunshine. Life is not always exciting. Life does have its moments of tears of storms. So as far as the similarities go, we more than likely have similar visions in that we all want to build something. We all hear the same thing from the same source. And we all face storms of some kind which leave us a little wet. So let's now move on to the differences that these men had. The two men that we're talking about possessed two different characters. Jesus calls the first man a wise man, but he calls the second man a fool. As we've already seen, both had the same vision, both wanted to build something, both heard the same thing from the same source, both faced storms. So why did Jesus call one wise and one a fool? Wisdom in Scripture is the ability to take divine truth and apply it to our lives. The fool in Scripture is not necessarily a person who lacks the information. It's the person who does little or nothing with the information they've received. You only got to go to Proverbs to read how many times the fool is talked about hearing and not responding. So these two men were fundamentally different. Even though they both had dreams, even though they both had training, even though they both had storms, on the outside they would have looked like identical twins. But in the description given by the Lord, it says that they were fundamentally different in that one was wise and one was a fool. Why? Why did Jesus say that? The contrast that demonstrated the fundamental difference between these two men comes back to the foundation upon which they built their lives. It says that the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. While both men have the same vision, while both men have the same dream, the same training, the same storm, they didn't have the same foundation. We're going to talk a lot about foundations, and I know Chris or me or somebody is going to unpack what a foundation looks like. In the back room we were praying and somebody talked about the foundation of the cross that's down on the oval. Now I know that Hamish is deeply concerned. Where are you, Hamish? Deeply concerned about that cross falling over. I know that you took great care in making certain it was perfect. It hasn't fallen over yet. But you should have seen the size of the hole. You should have seen the size of the steel that went into that hole. You should have seen the amount of concrete that went into that hole. I don't know why Hamish is so worried about that cross. Yet, the important part was the foundation. There is a big difference in foundations, and we'll talk about that. The big difference between building your foundation on a rock or on solid soil and building your foundation on sand. If you read the same story in Luke, you'll find that Luke says the wise man dug deep. You know, so often we want to do things quickly. We want quick response. We live in a world that's quick. You know, it's been worked out how many seconds you've got between a goal is kicked and the ball is back and ready to be bounced. And if you look at it, you look at how many ads are in that quick, short time. That's money. We want things going all the time, fast, 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 fast. We don't like queues. We don't like having to try and find a car parking spot. Shopping centres know that if their car parks are always full, people are going to go somewhere else. We don't like crowds. We don't like having to line up. We don't like going to Bunnings, Chris, and not having anybody there to serve us. Because we want it fast. We just want it to happen quickly. And we do the same with our lives. So often, we don't want to dig deep. We don't want to take time. And so we build on sand. To build on rock is hard work. To build on rock takes a lot of time. To build on sand is easy. It's quick. To build on rock is expensive. To build on sand is cheap. So the difference between these two men is fundamentally rooted in the fact that the second man, the foolish man, really was building his house for show. And I want you to really get that. Building his house for show. Outward appearance. Not worrying too much about whether it was going to last or not. You know, some of these spec homes that we can build. Have we got any builders in the midst? Don't put your hand up. Some of these spec homes that we buy or are bought, you know, they're built on the outside to look fantastic. They're built to last the 7 years of guarantee. And then they don't care. You know, a dab of paint, slap, bang. Don't worry about the foundation. Don't worry about getting it right. Just let's get it up and let it make it look good. You know, we drive through these new estates and we've got these cookie cutter homes that just look so nice. Even the gardens look the same. Even the planning is the same. You can't do this, you can't do that. We just want top show. Unfortunately, that's what happens when you build on the sand. You just get top show. Yet the man that took his time, that allowed foundations to be poured and built properly, that did proper planning, that built his house on the rock, it was there to last. Sure, it might get some cracks in it. Sure, it might need repainting. Sure, it might need some maintenance. But it was there to last. I wonder how many of us are more interested in the outward appearance of what people think rather than doing the hard yards of building on the rock. About 7 years ago, Chris and I had the opportunity of visiting the Leaning Tower of, I've always said pizza, but I know that's not right. Where's Jules? She's not here. We've got an Italian. Jules, give me a pizza. How do you say that? Jules, come on. Pizza. Is that how you say it? Not pizza? So I went and visited the Leaning Tower of Pizza when we were in Italy. And as most things that you visit, you have this picture of what it's going to look like and where it's going to be. And it's like the Trevi Fountain. We went and visited that and we thought we were going to some magnificent place. And we walked through a whole lot of little alleyways and blow me down right just in the midst of commercialism was this fountain. That didn't look like the fountain that I thought we were going to see. I didn't even throw any money in it. That's not a surprise, is it? But when we go to Leaning Tower here, you know, we walked miles from the railway station. We walked through suburbia, round a little wall, and blow me down we came, and this is exactly what we saw. This is our photo. It is an amazing looking building, especially when you line it up against the chapel. It's straight. And believe it or not, that lean doesn't look as much a lean in the photo as what it does when you're there. You wonder how this thing is going to stand. Do you know why they call it the Leaning Tower of Pisa? One, it's leaning. Two, it's in Pisa. Do you know what Pisa means? It means marsh. They built a tower on a marsh. What do you expect? On mud. they built this tower? What were they thinking? It had to fall because it was on soggy, marshy ground. It didn't have a proper foundation. Virtually right from the time they built it, it started to lean. 2 millimetres every year it leans. If it wasn't for the remedial work that's been done, and I tell you, remedial work like you would not believe. They've got this great ring and they've dug down deep and they've poured metres and metres and tons of concrete and steel just to try and hold this thing up. And if they didn't do that, it wouldn't be staying today. But you know, the thing about this tower is it's good for nothing. The only reason that they did the remedial work was for the tourists. The people that come to do what we did, walk miles and miles and miles, pay dollars or euros or something to see a building that's falling over with thousands of other people. And we could have walked to the top if we'd wanted to pay more money, which I didn't. Chris did, but we didn't. No way. We can see it. Take a photo. We've got it. We're out of here. Let's go. A life, a home, a ministry that is not founded on right foundations, believe it or not, is only a tourist attraction. People just look. I told you it was going to fall over. I told you that would be no good. People just look. I don't want my life to be a tourist attraction. I don't want my life to fall over. I don't want your lives to be tourist attractions. I don't want your families to be tourist attractions. I don't want your life to fall over. What type of foundations are you building? That'd be a phone. The two men experienced two different results. The biggest difference between these two men is in the results or in the fruit. As Jesus said, you will know them by the fruit. How often we need to stop a little and look at the fruit of a person. That's why the Bible says to lay hands on no one lightly. New people come in, they say how good they are and what they've done at all their other churches and all their qualifications. The Bible says, let them sit. Why? So that you will know what their fruit is really like yourself. In our text, it says that one house stood, the other house fell. But not only did it just fall, it said it fell greatly. It was a total collapse, total ruin. One house lasted, the other house disappeared. So what is Jesus wanting us to learn from this story? If you were to drive by both men's homes, if you were to talk to them, you probably wouldn't see or hear much difference. The only time that you discover the difference between these two men, between their lives, between their homes, between their ministries, is during and after the storm. You see, even though we don't like calamity in our life, we don't like pressure, we just like things to be rosy, it's the storms that reveal the foundation that we have built on. You know, when we think of LMC as a church in our 60 years, we don't talk too much about the storms. Why would you? But we have had plenty of storms. We have had plenty of pressures. We have had plenty of rumbles with bureaucracy, with the world, with people, situations, circumstances. Yet we're still here 60 years later. Why? Because we as a church have been built on strong foundations. The storms help us to learn, help us to grow. The storms test us in so many ways. And the storms reveal the foundation that we're being built on. You see, as long as the sun is shining, you don't think too much about the foundation. How many people started to think about cleaning out their gutters when we were going to have that rainstorm of all rainstorms about 3 weeks ago? How many people thought about that? Be honest. I didn't. I just told Chris to get up and clean the gutters. When you've got a solid house, when you've got proper gutters and you've got proper pops in there for overflow and stuff, you look forward to the storm. You look forward to the rain. You look forward to the gutters all gushing with water. But when you know that the foundation is not too strong or sure, then you start to remember, oh, that's right. I remember now. I got to clean the gutters. I wish I'd done that before the storm. I remember now those windows in that rotten frame. I meant to get that fixed. Notice the language in our text. It says, in both cases, for both men, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and the winds burst against the house. Jesus is saying to us that our foundations need to be formed before the storm. You can't all of a sudden, in the midst of the rain, decide that you're going to dig out and put some concrete down. You can do it before, you can do it after, but you can't do it during the storm. And it's a storm that tests us. Now, I would obviously encourage everybody to build their foundations before the storm. But sometimes we don't have that opportunity because maybe we've made a mistake. Maybe we've messed up somewhere. Well, we can always come back and fix it as long as the house is standing still. Some of us in this room might need to do some restumping, might need to do some underpinning, might need to fix some things. But as long as you're basically building your house on the rock, Jesus, then you've got the opportunity to do that. That wasn't the case in this story, because one man heard and did, and the other man heard and didn't. And his house did not last. Is your foundation sure? Have you built on the rock? Have you built on the truth of God's word? Are you sure that when the storm comes that your house will be steady? Particularly for parents of kids, you're not only building a foundation for yourself, you're building a foundation for them. You're training them. You're equipping them. You know, one of the things that surprises me so much now in the generation we live, you know, when we started the school, parents delighted, worked hard, committed hard to putting their kids into a school like ours. The world has changed. You know, we have people come through school at work and you know that they're shopping, which is a good thing. I don't mind them shopping. But at the end of the shopping experience, we've been to this school, that school, that school, you hear the parents say to the child, "And what school would you like to go to?" You know, you hear parents getting angry at a teacher or some authority in front of their kids? What foundation are you laying for your children in getting angry or getting upset with authority? No wonder we've got anarchy. No wonder we've got ugliness happening. No wonder the generation that's out there today is different to what we were brought up with. Now, I'm not saying old fuddy-duddy. I'm just saying sure foundations. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's build on strong foundations. Let's build our lives on what God's Word tells us. I get a plan to build this building here, and I can show you the plans for this foundation. We get a plan to build the cross down there. And we obey the plan. We put everything into place. And we even have a building inspector come and check that we've done what we should have done before we pour the concrete. We have a plan called the Word of God. A plan to build our lives on. A plan that God has given us that we might be successful in all we do. That we might have life to the full. And then we choose not to do it because it's too hard. Or we want to do it quickly. Or we want to short circuit a few things. God's Word is our plan. And God's Word tells us how to build the foundation for our lives. So as we look at these two men, both heard, only one did. Question: what foundation are you going to build? If you want your lives to stand the test of time, if you want to enjoy the fruit of your labor, and the Bible tells us that the fruit of a father is his children's children, if you want to look at the generations and say, hey, look at that, it doesn't happen by chance. And I'll tell you now, it's not easy. But the fruit will last. And the fruit is a joy. What fruit is evident in your life after the storms that you've been through? Have you chucked it all in? Have you got angry at God? Have you decided that it doesn't work for you, so you're out of here? Or are you, having gone through the storms, determined even more to build your lives on the rock? As I've already said, not all is lost. We can get the foundations right. We can start right now in doing the remedial work if necessary. And I encourage those who need to do it before the next storm comes. Let's build our lives on the rock. Let's build strong foundations. And as we celebrate this year, the foundations of this church, the fruit of this church, let's start to celebrate the foundations of our lives. You might have grown up in a Christian home like I was, the benefit that I have. You might be the first generation in your family. Whatever the case is, build strong foundations for the future. Andy, could we have the worship team back up? When we were singing the song, You Call Me Beautiful, Ronnie Dingy came up and said that this song is touching a few people. I'd written the name of the song down on my sheet because it was touching me. I knew it was touching people. Could we distribute the communion, please? As we come to communion today, you're holding in your hand the rock. You're holding in your hand an element that symbolizes Jesus. As you take communion today, you are accepting what Jesus has done for you. Do this in remembrance of me. we have the right to judge ourselves. We have the right to ask God to forgive us, to determine that we're going to bring things back into order if necessary. I know in my life how many times around the communion table I've pushed the reset button to start again. Whatever the case is, communion tells us that Jesus sees us as beautiful, that He is the beautiful name, and that we can build our lives on Him. Could I ask you just to allow the worship team, and please don't have it too loud, Cam, have the worship team sing this song, and as you hold these elements in your hand today, as you take communion in remembrance of what Christ has done, just remember that Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. And that today He's not here to set you up to fail. He's here to see you and your lives make a difference for Him. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour this morning, if you've been one of those ones that haven't thought it's for you, then this morning I would encourage you to consider building your life from now on the rock. And you can do that by just asking Jesus, or by saying to Jesus, hey, I just want to do what your word says. I want to give my life to you. I want to be a follower of you. You might be a believer, but you might not be a follower. You might have not been a rejecter. But today, God might be asking you to be a follower of Him, to found your life on Him, the solid foundation, knowing that whatever comes after will last and stand the test of time.